This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Tomorrow at 1 Eastern Time, Chairman Benny Thompson is going to gavel the January 6th committee hearing into session for what is probably, but we don't really know, going to be its last public hearing. Also unknown is when the committee is going to release its final report. But when it does, be glad you're not in the publishing business, because it is going to be a madhouse. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab explores the business of publishing public records.
The day the House releases the January 6th report will be a very busy one for book publishers. Sean Desmond is the publisher and vice president at 12 Books.
There will be this like fire drill period where the report does drop in the morning. We grab the file off of PubGov or somewhere, wherever the committee is housing it. And then it's a race.
A race to reconfigure the report into a book, a race to print copies and get them on booksellers' shelves or to Amazon warehouses, and a race to finish the audiobook.
It could be like 4 or 5 days in the studio, morning, noon, and night. It could be upwards of 50 to 60 hours.
And it's all a race because the content of every publisher's version, there are at least 4 going to print, they'll all basically be the same. A cleaned up copy of the report with some context from a writer. 12 Books is working with the New York Times to add analysis and visuals by the paper's staff.
The report itself is a free document, and that's why 12 and the New York Times are trying to bring value to the reporting and offer readers something that's special.
You might be wondering what the audience for something like this is. Government documents printed, bound, and sold for $19.99. People's love for these reports go back to 1964 and the Warren Commission report on the assassination of President Kennedy. Alan Lichtman, a history professor at American University, says it initially sold 1 million copies, and it continues to sell because it's a big piece of American history.
We still debate today who really killed JFK. We still debate today the implications of the 9/11 attacks. And of course, the Mueller report touched on issues of great import to our democracy.
Lichtman says people's interest in these reports shows they're politically engaged. And though the reports are often written as a dry account of events, they're sometimes downright juicy.
The Starr report.
That's the investigation of President Clinton's Whitewater controversy that morphed into examining his relationship with White House intern Monica Lewinsky.
Not only reads like a novel, it reads like a pornographic novel, which may account for some of its interest.
When the Starr report was released in 1998, tens of millions of Americans logged onto their slow dial-up connections to read it. The book became a bestseller. Another publishing hit was the 9/11 Commission Report, which was a nonfiction finalist for the National Book Award. Rachel Deal at Publishers Weekly says even reports that don't sell well make money.
It's low-hanging fruit. These books are very cheap to do. They are public documents, and so they might be free, or you might be sort of paying potentially a small fee if somebody's doing a foreword.
After paying fees to authors and booksellers and spending on marketing and printing, most books in the $15 to $20 range make around a dollar per book for the publisher. But Deal expects the profit margin on published reports to be much bigger. And even when they're not an instant hit, they have a long game.
Backlist books are books that will continue to sell over time. They might be of value to schools and other organizations, you know, who might be putting them on a syllabus or something like that.
Plus, she says there's always an appetite to re-examine the past. For instance, the Mueller report made people look back at Watergate. In other words, history repeats itself. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.